familiar passage of Scripture this morning. It's in Matthew chapter 19. Chances are, if you grew up in church, you heard it as one of the very first verses you ever learned. And we're going to jump into that scripture. But before we do it, let's pray. Lord, we want our lives to be bathed in prayer, no less this moment, that the wonder of you may flow in like sunlight to bring us to life. In Jesus' name, amen. I used an illustration this morning in a Sunday school class that might be a little bit theologically suspect in some instances, but I'm going to share it with you just as we start. I was taking Max for a walk along the Eno River. We do a 3-mile loop, and it was one of those nights where Max got away from me, and I think he thought that Carrie was with me farther down the trail, so he bolts down the trail, and I end up having to bolt after him. I finally caught up with him. Well, he finally waited for me. But it was just one of those things where the sun was setting. Fortunately, there really weren't any people on the trail. But, you know, as the sun's going down, the gnats and everything else, the plagues come out. There was this horsefly that would not leave me alone. I'll tell you, that thing chased me for half a mile. And I kept thinking, you know, I'll get into the trees and it'll leave me alone. Didn't work. I'll do this and it'll leave me alone. And it didn't work. I'll swing this over my head because I was throwing sticks for Mac. Still didn't work. I told the Sunday school class, I think it was Satan in horsefly form. But finally I realized, you know, I'm preaching about something in particular this Sunday, and have you prayed about it? And the interesting thing was the spot where I was praying about it was right as you come out into the tree, out of the trees again, and the river opens out into this wider place, and there, it's not the best place. It's kind of a lowland, and there are all these gnats in one place, and it's sort of like, I don't know how to put it, but it wasn't a likely place for a fly to leave you alone. But I'll tell you, I prayed about it and I never saw that stupid horse fly again. And I really have to wonder, is there anything that's too minor to pray about? I had that conversation with my son the other morning over breakfast. What about the cereal I'm going to eat for breakfast, Dad? Should I pray about that too? We have some interesting theological conversations at our house, and my response to the question was basically, well, why not? Maybe God doesn't want you eating those sugary bites of dinosaur deliciousness when you have a blood sugar problem, and if you just talked about it with him, he'd convict you. Maybe he wants you to exercise good stewardship of the body he's given you while you're having breakfast. Why don't you talk with him? And Jeffrey's response was, okay, but maybe God gave you a mind and the freedom of the will to decide. And let me tell you, we can go round and round, but here's where the conversation came out that day. A little later, I was under the kitchen sink working on a leaking faucet. Now, this wasn't just any leaking faucet. This was one where the water had dripped down gradually over time so that the connection that holds it fast to the sink had rusted shut. And the last time I had tried to loosen it, I broke a box wrench on it. Now, Willie Hall can tell you that's not an easy thing to do. I ended up using a better box wrench later, but I snapped that thing in two. So this time, I knew what I was up against. And what did I do? You better believe I prayed about it. Do you want to pay a plumber? You know? Lord, help me to get this nut loose. And sure enough, it was the best feeling when just there. Finally got it to work. So, of course, when Jeff got home, I told him all about that. And he's a practical guy, and he wasn't as convinced that prayer had made the actual difference there. But let's go back to the question. Is there anything too small to pray about? The answer comes in an interesting place. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him, but Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." And he placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. Now, you could put the heading over this passage as, "Go away, kid, you bother me." Because that's basically the approach of the disciples in that moment. The thought that was on their mind is that some things are just too important or too unimportant to bother Jesus with. Why should he care about something so small? Ever go there? Ever think like that? I know I have. I know we do. The truth is, though, I believe this kind of thinking shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of God. Because God delights in details. He is not just the God of galaxies and megastars. He's the God of subatomic particles. Take a moment. Study the delicate parts of a flower. And you see what I mean. But someone might object, "That's not fair. It's out of respect for God that I don't want to bother him." But you see, that's what the disciples were thinking as well, right? And Jesus' response is really clear. "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them." Don't get in the way of that. You see, the beautiful thing is that we have a God who actually wants to be bothered with even the smallest things. Look at how Jesus described the children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as thee. You know, one of the reasons we have a kids' prayer time at Peace is because we can learn so much from our kids when it comes to praying. You might not get anything out of the sermon. Hey, you can be reading other stuff. You know, you can be looking out the window. But please, pay attention during the kids' prayer time. Because so often, you're going to be seeing God move in ways. I think of the time that DJ and Adam had been into it in the morning, and DJ said, "You know, I need to be nicer to Adam." And Adam said, "I need to stop being mean to DJ." And I really could have dismissed the church at that whole moment. I mean, we had our sermon right there. Because out of the mouth of a child, the kingdom of God came clearly. Think about the way kids are. They believe. They have big ideas. They ask why and why not. They're creative. They're uninhibited. And they can also be a handful at times, right? But I don't think that bothered Jesus if kids were crawling all over him and tugging on his beard. I don't think it bothers him now. I don't think you and I can ever bother God. Not in the sense of something being, oh, so small. Especially if prayer is about relationship, right? I mean, you and I, we do get hung up on the questions and answers. Oh, I prayed about that little thing, or I prayed about that big thing, and I didn't see anything change in that instance. But I think the thing we so easily forget is that prayer is more about relationship than anything else. So it's okay to even talk about that with God, right? Lord, you know, sometimes I pray about little stuff and I wonder if it makes any difference. It's okay to go there. You're just living out that relationship as a child of God. But the thing that I think we need to keep in mind here is that we're to be real with him. You know? And that means it's okay to be childish sometimes. Just go to him. Give it to him. Whatever the question may be, whatever the concern may be, no matter how off the wall it may be, nobody else may understand you quite. You may get on other people's nerves. God knows how you're wired. It's okay. Look at what Jesus does with the kids. He takes them in his arms and what? Blesses them. Man, wouldn't you want that for your kids? When Carrie and I lived in Ventura years ago, there was a Sunday school curriculum class or curriculum publisher there, Regal Books. And when Stephanie was just 2 years old, they asked if she'd sit for a photo shoot. And we brought Stephanie in, and she sat on her mother's lap, and they later cropped Carrie out. But they did it for a reason, because they were putting Stephanie on Jesus' lap. Let me tell you, I have that picture on the wall in my office at home. Because that's what we want more than anything else, right? We want our children, we want those things that are precious to us, no matter how small, taken into his arms and blessed. And you know what? Look at the picture on the front of the bulletin. You have to believe there's real pleasure for God in that as well. Now, this doesn't mean that God is this cosmic Santa Claus where we simply pray about every little thing and become all the more childish while we do. One of the things we're talking about in our Sunday school class is that God is growing us up, and he wants us to grow in maturity, in faith, and in prayer. But at the same time, if faith is about relationship, then it is genuinely pleasurable for God. Right? It was to his good pleasure, Scripture says, that Jesus came to save us. So you and I, as we cry out, Abba, Father, can take the smallest things and not worry and simply say, Lord, here they are. Because again, remember, it's not the smallest things. It's not the destination. It's the journey that matters. It's walking with him along the way. This is about a good and healthy and rewarding relationship where you share everything. Not because you're getting caught up in the details, but because you're just hanging out. You're just being with Abba, Father. And you see, the truth is, if we don't pray about the small stuff, we won't really be equipped to pray about larger matters when they'll come along. We'll become strangers to God, self-sufficient. I think of what a speaker I like very much said. You know, a guy referred to himself as a self-made man, and his response was, oh, that's great. That relieves God of a lot of responsibility. You know, you and I, that was Steve Brown. He's kind of a smart aleck. But I mean, the point is that you and I are to be called into this place of dependence, where we declare our dependence on God. Why not let him into the smallest part of the day? Jesus taught us to pray like that when he said, give us this day our daily bread. Just be with him. God loves that. And he will walk with us through the day and grow us up. Ultimately, it's not about us, is it? It's about the kingdom of God. That's where Jesus is pointing to here, right? Matthew says, Jesus went on from there. The disciples followed him with a new understanding of the heart of God. It's about joining him, a God who loves and saves, and watching him work. And the more we're in it, the more we're with him in the small stuff, the more we'll be with him in the large stuff as well. One of the assignments in our Sunday school class 2 weeks ago was to pray about manageable things, to pray about small stuff. And it was really cool to see the response that followed that next week. There was a buzz about the difference God had made in unexpected places. So this week, I want to give you the same challenge. Do it. Pray about little things. Welcome God into the moment. Stay open to him. Play follow the leader with him, if you will. Because we serve a God who is great enough, big enough, to enter into the most intimate details of our lives. In that regard, don't grow up. Go back to Neverland, where anything is possible. Go there with a child's heart, tender and open and expectant, looking to just love him and follow where he leads. Do it. And you'll step into a new adventure with him. May we pray. Lord, thank you that we can come to you, that we can crawl all over you and tug on your beard. Thank you that you want us to. Let them come. Lord, thank you too that you don't leave us where we are. You help us to grow. And we ask that you would help us to be about these very things, the things that matter most to you. Oh, Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for your cross, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit. Help us to live into this place of a daily adventure with you, your way, your will not ours, your kingdom not ours, into the wonder of what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.